This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Reality radio for a really great future.
We're talking real money.
Look at this. Another opportunity to talk about money. I am so glad we could spend some time together. Hi, I'm Don McDonald. That guy over there is Tom Cock. Just ignore him. He'll be fine. Really, he was just kind of, he was antsy. He was worried I wasn't going to be here in time. It'll be all right. You all right? You good?
You know me. I'm kind of one of those people that's always on time.
He is so on time. It is so funny. Yeah. Almost every day we have a call.
A confab,
which occurs precisely at 9:30 Eastern daylight time.
Daylight.
Yeah. Exactly. I can set my watch, if it didn't set itself, by Tom's call. Unbelievably prompt.
That must make you feel good that you have in your life. You have something so constant, right on the point.
I need no constants.
It's just that irritating.
No, I just kind of like everything to just, you know, I go play.
Monday I'll call like 7:18 or something.
Actually, then. Don't call on Monday. I'll be on the road.
Oh, that's true. I'm driving to Virginia.
I'm going up. We're only going up for a couple of weeks because the house has been sitting there way too long empty. So we're going to go for a couple
of weeks. Do you know it's still empty? Somebody might have moved in by now.
All the camera batteries are dead now, so it's distinctly possible. Distinctly possible. Hey, we know that you hate the current interest rate climate as an investor. Now, if you're a borrower, you love the current interest rate climate. I mean, mortgages below 3% still, some of them. But it's not fun for people who are trying to build a portfolio with a predictable income stream. So the financial folks, we call them Wall Street folks. They're always creating new things. Actually, everything old is new again, but new things.
Yeah. Well, this isn't new.
It's back again.
Well, here are the numbers. $135 billion with a B of floating rate corporate bonds have been issued already this year. That nearly matches the annual issuance of those type of securities since 2008. And by the way, the last time this many securities, floating rate securities, which you can explain what a floating rate bond is.
Yeah, I will. Why?
Biggest year this year since 2008.
Eight.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, see, you already knew that without even saying. 2008 ring any bells for you? Anything kind of, what's something happened in 2008 that wasn't very pleasant?
I think something bad happened.
Yeah. Kind of go back and look at the books.
But here's the thing. Why would a corporation issue bonds with a floating rate? In other words, a rate that can go down or up based on prevailing rates in the future, when interest rates in general are as low as they have, get this, ready for this little interesting thing? As low as they've ever been. Ever been.
Yeah, I mean, 7-Eleven, which is the second largest issuer this year, sold a $1.5 billion floating rate note due August 22 at a yield of 0.612.
See, that's what they're doing. That's why they're doing it. They're doing it. Here's the reason behind these. Short-sighted corporations, or corporations that are trying to preserve some immediate cash flow.
Exactly. Yeah. But the question to you, for our listeners, I mean, is this something? Yes. Is this something people should use in their portfolio? Because I am so tired of my fixed income not making anything, Don. Come on, but the problem is
the fixed income you're going to get for these guys from these floating rate bonds is going to be even worse than the fixed income you get from treasuries. But the kicker that if rates rise in the future, you're going to get a higher rate. But generally speaking, these aren't the most credit worthy issuers. So you're going to be taking risk on the credit quality. There's a lot of trade-offs when it comes to managing your money. And that's going to be the big one here is you're going to get lower credit quality because a higher credit quality company, a smarter company, a better managed company is going to issue. Heck, if I could, I had a company right now, I'd issue 50-year 2.5% bonds.
And now I'm not allowed to make the 95-year Argentinian bond joke here. And not allowed to do that. Sorry. Anyway, I think you're right on. But in a couple minutes, let's talk about another aspect of all that. And that is, okay, if that's true, what do I do with the fixed income portion of my portfolio? Or how to make more in this low interest rate environment?
Oh, gee. Sounds like fun. 855-935-TALK. Bail us out of that conversation.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Set your course for a great future with a free copy of our 60-page Better Retirement Guidebook at Vestory.com, V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.com.
For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
Hello again. And welcome back to Talking Real Money. I'm Don McDonald, Tom Cox there. We're talking about money with you because it's really important. It's a critical part of your life, and we want to make it make more sense for you. So call us at 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255. We've got lines open right this very moment. And right now, we're going to talk about, let me step back a little bit. We believe that investing is actually ridiculously easy. It's us that make it more complicated. It's our fault that managing money is more complicated than it needs to be because we want things we can't have. And one of the things we want that we can't have is this high yield with a high degree of safety. I got a call on one of the podcasts last week from a young man who loved an advisor that he went to visit. He said, they totally agree with you on almost everything.
Except
fixed income. And they believe that you have to have these strategic income funds with high fees and expenses to make that little bit of extra money.
Yeah, so let's unpack that just a little bit because yes. And by the way, when Don says yield, he's talking about interest,
yes,
on your money. Easy interest, a lot of interest, no risk in a time where interest rates, as we pointed out recently, are very, very low. Well, this comes to mind a little bit because great piece from Jason Zweig today talking about the Pennsylvania Public School Employees Retirement System. Might not mean much to you, but the point that can be made here, I think, is incredibly important for everyone. You know, they have about $66 billion in the plan. Last year, they paid management fees of $515 million with an M.
Dollars. Wait, let me 515 do the math.
Million.
That's a high percentage for an account that big.
And here's the thing. The reason it's so big is because they have 170 external managers, 170. And the reason they have all those external managers is because they are not willing to accept the fact that bonds are yielding very little. They got to find the other thing. They got to find the alternative. They got to find the private equity or the venture capital or the hedge fund that's going to make up and be able to supply the pension to pay out the people that are going to be getting that. By the way, they believe, the typical pension system is assuming that they will make about 8% a year for the next 10 years, which is pretty hefty assumption in light of those low interest rates. The Pennsylvania plan is anticipating it'll get 7.25. But here's the part that I think is absolutely critical. Jason always writes these in a way that I think the last paragraph should be the first, because he asked somebody who used to run the Oregon State Treasury, and the guy over there says, no, they use index funds. No, they're not trying to find alternatives, but he thinks your alternatives are A, raise your existing holdings of traditional risky assets like stocks. Try to make more, add more of your money to stocks, or try a bunch of new and exotic bets and hope that they don't blow up on you and you make more money, which they probably will blow up on you. Or you grit your teeth and stay the course through a period of what may be lackluster returns until, as you pointed out in the show, Mr. McDonald, interest rates finally, and I'm using air quotes here, normalize.
But what's to say that this isn't normal? That's the this is so frustrating. Who defines normal?
That's why I did the air quotes, because normal is today. This is the life. This is the date. This is the time we're living in. And this is the rate you're getting paid. So, yes, you could have a greater allocation to stocks. By the way, there's no guarantee that in the 5 to 10 years that stocks are going to have a great return either, because they've had a pretty good return here over the last decade, frankly. And so what the school employees retirement system really is trying is to find those other alternatives. We talked about one on the podcast last week, farmland, right? The other thing that could make you more money it was a moving podcast, if I remember right. But the point is, We think you should go with number three, grit your teeth, but not on the air, of course.
Okay. So what kind of a return for these ridiculous fees? What kind of a return is the Pennsylvania portfolio generating?
Well, for the last 10 years, they've made 7.7% annually.
So they're taking these risks. I'm just trying to
put massive. All this-
Okay, so they're making they've been making 7.5%, almost 8%, paying big fat fees to a lot of fancy schmancy pants managers.
Yep.
If they had, how many years did you say?
10.
Had they put that money in the dirt cheap Vanguard Balanced Index Fund, which has, how much does it have in it? I want to see how much money. See, I'm going to see how big the fund is. Oh, it's almost the same size. It's $57 billion.
They just transfer it right over.
Just transfer it right over there. Yeah. If it had been there for the last 10 years, the Pennsylvania employees' pension would have returned 10.33% per year.
But wait, you don't own farmland. You're not speculating on EV. You're not in on the inside with all these great 170 managers that you're paying $515 million to.
But you would have made 2.5% more.
Not as exciting. By the way, Richard Ennis, who is quoted in this article, he estimates in a recent research paper that underperformance of public retirement plans is no laughing matter. I couldn't help myself. The underperformance costs, if they just did what you just said, about $70 billion a year to the plans. In other words, so that you hear often about pension plans being underfunded, right? There's not enough money there to pay the retirees over the next 20 years. And one of the big reasons is this overpayment to people that can't see the future any better than you can.
How much did they pay again?
It was $515 million.
$515 million. Okay.
Yeah. 515.
I'm just getting ready to make a proposal.
You're going to cut a check?
Yeah, No. I'm going to make a proposal to them. Let's see. I'll manage that.
For how much?
Index funds. Manage that.
We'll just add 5 basis points to the cost of the fund. We'll be the advisor on the plan.
I was just going to do it for a flat $5 million, saving them $510 million.
Send that on over. Let's see what happens.
I will manage it in index funds for a flat $5 million. Done.
You heard it.
Done.
All right.
This is an offer. Pennsylvania, are you listening? Plus, you get me as the front guy. Okay? $5 million bucks.
Yeah.
I will be your front guy. I'll do the news media stuff and I'll go, yeah, once again, we beat all the pension funds in America. What do we do? Oh, I'm not going to tell you. It's very, very special.
Shh.
It's very, very special. I bought the Vanguard Balanced Index Fund for 0.07%.
Or as we like to say in the business, 7 basis points. Pretty doggone cheap. But here's the message again, I think everyone should take away is this is a time where if you are mad that interest rates are so low, you're not making much. You do have to grit your teeth. You got to grind them a little bit and live with it for the time being until the new normal arrives, Don.
You'd
be happy again.
You got to grit your teeth and bear it. Always, period. That's the way it works. You diversify like mad. You suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune in both directions. And in the end,
Tom and Don are talking real money.
A second opinion could save your life either physically or fiscally. Let one of our Vestry advisors help you save your future at Vestry.com, V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.com.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
855-935-TALK is our phone number, 855-935-8255. Call anytime, but call during the show if you want to talk to us live, which is noon to 2 Pacific, 3 to 5 Eastern on Saturdays. I'm Don, that's Tom. You can also send questions in at our website, TalkingRealMoney.com. Here's a question for you from TalkingRealMoney.com, Tom.
Okay.
Wow,
dot
that
com,
rhymed.
Tom? That's scary.
Aloha from Hawaii,
which apparently is not a place to go right now because everyone's going there. There's not enough people to take care of you, from what I'm told.
I'm telling you, everyone's going everywhere. I went down the street to get my oil changed in the depressing tourist corridor down here along U.S. 192 in Kissimmee. I drive by a Perkins. This is at 10:30, 11 o'clock in the
Perkins
morning.
Perkins Cake and Steak?
Yeah, Perkins. You know, the breakfast and lunch and
dinner
place. I
know places. The place, yes.
I look over, and there is a line of about 50 people outside the Perkins.
They don't know how to cook eggs on their own in Florida, or what?
People, no, it's tourists, dude.
I see. Okay.
No, they don't know how to cook eggs on their own in their tacky little 192 motel.
All right, got it.
Aloha from Hawaii.
Yes.
I recently started listening to your podcast. I was introduced to them through Paul Merriman. You know him.
Well, thank you, Paul.
Who I also recently started listening to. What an amazing wealth of knowledge that you all put out. I can't thank you enough. I really appreciate your frankness and simplicity of approach to investing. Here's my question. I'm 59. 3 years away from a planned retirement. Virtually all of my invested assets are in a 401k, IRA, and HSA, health savings account. As I approach the decumulation phase, I have become concerned about adjusting my investment strategy to favor periodic withdrawals. I've seen proponents of a bucket strategy. It seems like almost universal consensus is to keep the first 3 years or so of needed withdrawals to mitigate the risks of market downturns. Consensus is also high regarding the need for a strong equity position to outpace inflation for what will likely be a decades-long retirement. Where I found the most diversity of opinion is the need for something in between. Some favor an intermediate bucket of bonds in some form, ladder or fund. Some favor no intermediate bucket, saying it is better to have a single pool for all funds outside the immediate cash to apply to an overall stock bond target allocation for those. The latter argument is that the funds held in an intermediate bucket could overweight the total allocation too heavily in favor of bonds, depending on the number of years, and the activity of rebalancing is more straightforward and effective without the intermediate bucket.
Can I just say you're overthinking it a
little
bit here?
You got it. I was just thinking the same thing.
I'll ring a bell if you like. Here's the thing. Okay, here's the way I would do it.
What the heck is an intermediate bucket anyway?
I don't even know and I don't even care. Because here's the thing. All right, 3 years of money sitting around to spend, way too long because it's not making anything. Mm-mm. Here's the way I would do it. At the beginning of each year, figure out how much cash you need. For that following year, I would then rebalance my portfolio, take from the things that have gone up, put that in my pocket, buy the things that have gone down, so I'm back to the correct percentages, and then I'd repeat the following year. That's it. I don't think it has to be any more complex. Sometimes we manage it to be a little more complex, but we do it for a living. For you, if you're out doing this on your own, it doesn't really have to be. You don't need all these 19 different places of money here and money. That's way overthinking.
No. In fact, you never hear us use the word bucket. We are big advocates of kicking these buckets to the curb. Kick the darn buckets, not your personal bucket. Don't kick that bucket. Stick around as long as possible. You listen to the podcast, so we like you. If you don't listen to the podcast,
unnecessary.
If you don't listen to the podcast, kick the bucket. We don't care. No, we do.
Wow, you're really tough on people today. Between the hotel rooms,
you just build, like Tom said, you just build this right stock bond portfolio, diversified equities and intermediate term bonds for your risk tolerance. And then every year you rebalance, you fund your money for the money year.
You could put that in
for the 1 year. That's what I do. Account. I put it in a cash account for a year.
By the way, if you have money in bonds, you have a cash account anyway. You have money in there anyway.
Have a separate one that's a shorter term.
Yeah, all right. Okay. Got it.
That's your budget for the year.
To me, I'd rather see you do it every 6 months because you're just costing yourself money with money sitting around and things are making nothing.
Didn't you just keep it simple?
I'm okay. One year. Simple. All right.
No buckets. No buckets. You got your assets. You rebalance every year, and you got your spending money. Done. Thanks for the call.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
A second opinion could save your life either physically or fiscally. Let one of our Vestry advisors help you save your future at Vestry.com, Vestory.com.
Reality radio for a really great future. We're talking real money.
All I could say is, and you all should say this too, you should get down on your knees and thank God you don't listen to the stuff we talk about during the breaks.
Let's just hope no one does. They might be. I have no idea.
I don't know. I hope not. All right. Anyway, hi. Welcome back to Talking Real Money. Don here, Tom there. You're there. Call us at 855-935-TALK during the show particularly.
We have lines open.
Sound like Frazier. We have lines open.
We were there with you in the rain, Seattle.
855.
Be there for us in the sun.
Yeah. Well, Deborah, is it sunny or rainy there? It's sunny, isn't it?
It's kind of partly cloudy. They keep saying it's going to be a beautiful day, but it's not.
Well, for you guys, beautiful day is partly cloudy.
That's good point there. Yeah.
Right. Deborah, you're up. Welcome to Talking Real Money. Thanks for being there.
Oh, hi. I'm glad to be on your show.
Thank you.
I'm 62 years old. And I'm not taking Social Security. I own outright three condos, two of which I rent, and one I live in. And that's how I pay my bills. Mm-hmm. I don't have any savings, but I have no debts. And just this week, my dear mother said she's going to give me $100,000.
Great.
What to do?
That's lovely.
I know.
Okay. And so you want this money. I'm just going to leap right out there. And make
wild guess.
You're going to want this money to provide you some additional income, right?
That would be awesome.
See, that's kind of what I thought. Pretty smart. Tom?
You are smart. By the way, you have three condos. Would you like another one? Would you like to own four instead?
Tom's not one. He wants to
put out there.
Hey, and four.
Wouldn't that make you kind of lopsided? Aren't I supposed to diversify?
Tom, she'd be too lopsided.
On it.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're advocates of diversifying, despite your selfish, selfish behavior on the show.
I know. I openly admit.
He's selfish.
Sell, give away, burn, whatever it is. I'm not picky about any of it.
All right, go ahead. Would you give? No.
Okay. I can see on your face you've got something in mind here. So this is going to be a gift
just
from
money.
Your mother.
It's just going into an account.
$100,000.
Okay. Yeah.
And I mean, I guess the number one would be how much volatility you're willing to accept to in that because you're not. You know, overly familiar with stocks, right? Because your money's been in real estate.
Right. Before I bought this condo, I just went and bought some ETFs and, you know, they did good. And then I sold them and it was no big deal. But that's all the experience I've had.
Yeah.
My
immediate temptation would be to keep it simple and suggest that you probably look at either a target date fund from somebody like Vanguard or you look at a balanced portfolio of some sort. I think the first thing I'd probably do is send you to Talking Real Money and say, Deborah, go take our risk quiz and determine what your tolerance for volatility is. And then if you want to do it really, really simply, you can do a target date fund that matches that allocation that will be shown on that risk quiz, what your allocation should be, how much in stocks and how much in bonds.
Or you could just say, I'm willing to accept, you know, the ups and downs. Portfolio could be down 20-25% in any given year. Then I will just own the Vanguard balanced index fund. This is a mutual fund that holds stocks and bonds. The idea here is to, you know, make some part of stocks, not lose it all, obviously, right, because you're in bonds as well, right? Bonds aren't making a lot of money, but that's the stable part. It's kind of done for you. It's reasonably diversified, and it's very, very, very low cost.
The other thing, though, the other thing you could do because of the tax advantages is use, because you said you've used ETFs before, is use VT, the Vanguard Total World Stock Index ETF, for the equity portion of the portfolio.
That's Victor Tango.
And then use BND for the fixed income portion of your portfolio, and then set up a regular withdrawal after you rebalance every year for probably, I think safely you could do 4% per year. You could do 4%
per year.
Yeah,
take 4 out of the 100.
Take 4 out of it every year and add that to your living expenses. So there's a couple of options, all of them relatively simple. And I really, though, would suggest you take the risk quiz so you better know where you stand tolerance-wise.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Want a free copy of my book, Financial Physics? Well, go download it right now at Vestory.com, V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.com.
For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
Money, 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 money. Talk about money all the time. We're just crazy about money. But not making it complicated, making it simple, easy, even if your questions can be a little long. Call us at 855-935-TALK or send them in, and that's where they end up long, which requires that Don say a lot of words, like
now. But you never had a problem with that in 40 years of broadcasting.
But I'm getting old now. For you.
I see. Do you want somebody to read them for you then? And then
that's why
just
I got a computer
yes
to
no?
do it.
Oh, okay.
On the podcast where I do them alone, I have a computer read them. But for you.
But you're not going to do that
you,
today?
For you. I read
I
the
get
questions.
The, I get the, yeah, the illustrative
oh, wait, this
reading.
Is from, this is yeah. from Louisiana, so I got to do it a little southern. I got to do it like Louisiana. Let's see this guy. I got to get down in here somewhere. All right. Love the show. Listen to you guys every morning on the way to work. No, I'm not going to, I'm sorry. Love the show. Listen to you guys every morning on the way to work. A quick rundown of my personal situation.
Okay.
Listen, 42 years
I'm
old.
I'm listening. Yes.
Married, 2 kids.
Mm-hmm.
How many kids?
2.
Okay, good. Just testing.
Married.
Currently, yeah. Currently have about 600.
Louisiana.
You're getting on my one nerve. Currently have about $615,000 in 401k. 200. Are you writing this down? You're never going to
no,
remember.
I'm not.
This. Oh, you're
okay.
never going to remember this whole question.
I'm still on
trust
the movie
me.
You told me to watch. Okay.
It's a
I got
TV
401k.
Show.
Got it.
Currently
show.
Have 615
yeah,
okay. in 401k, yep, 212 in a Roth, yep. 210 in investments.
Yep. Hang on.
Other
yeah,
investments.
Okay. Yeah.
400K
yeah.
in CDs and money markets.
Whoa.
Whoa, he's right.
I want you to be my friend.
$17,000 okay. in checking. We own a home valued at $850,000.
Yeah.
Have over $350,000 in equity. We don't have any debt outside of the mortgage.
Most What's the mortgage rate?
It doesn't say.
Okay. Well, I'm just trying to paint the
What do you think? I know
here.
This guy?
Kind of sounded like at the beginning.
Could be a woman because it's initials. I don't know. Okay.
I got, okay. I'm writing feverishly. Hit me.
Most of our money is spread across mutual funds in my 401k and ETFs in the brokerage account. We do have some individual stocks, but they make up a small, less than 5% of overall portfolio. 3 questions. Question number 1.
3? No, we'll take 1.
Answer me these questions 3.
Yes, I am a swallow, and I know the speed, too.
1.
Go ahead.
We have too much cash, but I like having cash.
No.
As a safety net.
Next question.
I know it isn't doing anything for me. At the same time, I can't seem to let go of the cash to invest it. Any advice in getting over my fear and putting that money to work for me?
We don't do that kind of work. That's Dr. Phil. He's on later on the same network station.
No, he's on
I
TV.
Don't know what to tell you. We can't fix that. I don't tell people you have to do this
can.
And this and this.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Okay. I can fix it.
Please fix it.
I can
it.
Fix
yeah.
it. Ladder those bloody CDs at least out to 5 years.
Ah, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, all right.
Build a ladder at least. Then you have your safety, but you're only, what do you need? More than 80 grand a year in cash? So you're good.
No, not at that age either.
Right. So at least do that. If you can't get over your fear, do they?
Remember last hour I referred to a bridge and go to the bridge.
I'm going
to
give you question two. Stop.
All right. Go ahead. Yes. See if I can do better than one.
I have messed my portfolio up. Should have much more money than I do. You're doing it by tinkering with it and overanalyzing it. Oh, that sounds familiar. I have roughly, I have roughly 35 mutual funds and ETFs.
What? No.
Low cost, of course, 5 to 50 basis points. I wish I would have left my money alone and followed your three investment approach. I estimate I could have had over 500,000 more if I wouldn't have tinkered with it and invested my cash.
Well, all right, you know what? You're
got
our candidate.
More.
Wait, let me answer this one first.
All right.
I don't know how to say this nicely, but
you need help.
You need help
from Tom.
Because if you, or a 100% fee only fiduciary advisor. Mm-hmm. Period. Because you need a plan. You got to have somebody say, put this in here. Mm-hmm. You may disagree, but you need somebody to say that to you, to say, because you need someone to make financial decisions where you're making emotional decisions, which
and that's kind of his next question. How do I let this go and move on? You really, truly, absolutely need someone to guide you who will say, if you don't do it my way, the highway. Go back and do it on your own. Do you want to make more money or
the
not?
The only people are going to do that would be the 100% fiduciary. Because if you take this to a broker, and by the way,
they'll do anything you want.
Anything you want. And by the way, if you noticed recently, there was one headline in one of the financial mags that said, the major houses don't want them to call them brokers anymore because they have a bad reputation.
Yes, they do.
But that's what they are.
Yeah.
They're salespeople, and they're going to sell you something. And then when you say you don't like it, they'll say, oh, you're right. We have another product that's way better than that. We'll move you right into the floating rate security bond.
And let me continue reading what he said, because this will just reinforce your opinion. This will totally reinforce it. I am slowly dollar cost averaging my way into the market so I can get most of the money in stock funds. But I worry that I missed out on the incredible run we had, knowing I should not time the market, but it's in the back of my head. Should I just throw all my cash in the market at once and leave about a year of living expenses in cash? Time in the market is better than time out of the market, right? Also,
well, okay, you're kind of young to be timing
I'm not
into the market.
Done. Also,
this is too long of a question.
Am I overanalyzing this? Should I consolidate?
Yes. I mean, you're way overthinking this. You're too young to be timing into the market with money that you may use for 40 or 50 years. If you were 80, I guess we could say that, because you don't want to see it go down by a bunch. Actually, going down for you would be good. You're buying in after it's gone down.
It's good for anybody in their 20s, 30s, 40s, or even 50s.
Exactly. I'm hoping
falling.
The market just goes up for the next 25
because
years.
Old.
But still.
But
yeah, no.
Then his final question.
Oh, no, come on. That's ridiculous. I'm quitting.
No.
It's a federal holiday. I don't even know why I'm working anyway.
Though I have made some boneheaded decisions, how do you feel we're doing?
Well, let's be honest. You're doing great in terms of saving
you're
money.
Great. You're a millionaire.
No question. Yeah, I mean, there's that part is good. I don't know what the interest rate on your mortgage is, which is something
that
should be looked
at. But it doesn't matter. You're a millionaire at 42 years old.
Yeah, I mean, that part is great.
You
but
probably would have been a multi-millionaire
a
if you hadn't been overthinking it.
Yeah, I mean, like the fact that you're using low-cost product securities, but the 35 of them, you don't need 35 securities in a portfolio that's a 401k, a Roth, and then after tax. That does not make sense. And there's no way in the world you should have $400,000 in CDs. End of story.
I am going to go out on a limb here and assume that you have a very high paid professional job. You didn't say what you did, but I'm going to assume, based on the amount of money you have at 42, that you're a highly compensated professional. As a highly compensated professional with a family, you've got two children and a lovely wife, I'm sure, or husband, whichever you are. I would imagine that you,
your job is really important to you. You want to spend a lot of time on that so you can continue to make this kind of money and invest it. That you want to spend more time with your family. I think that's probably important to you, or it will be as you get older. Why manage your money? Why are you even doing it? Okay, you're great apparently at a couple of things, but not this. You don't have to be great. This is one of the messages I think we need to get across to everybody listening. You don't have to be great at everything. And you're probably not great at investing. So stop trying to do it yourself if you're bad at it.
This could sound self-serving, but even most of the people that are pretty good do-it-yourselfers generally need a professional look anyway, because they can't get it.
From time to time.
Right, yeah. And sorry to say, that happens.
Thanks for the questions.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Is your portfolio a mess? You may have a case of hodgepodgeitis, but don't worry, we can help. Just set up a free, no-obligation meeting with a Vestory advisor at Vestory.com. No sales pitch, guaranteed. That's Vestory.com.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
I think the that question thing, threw up my sciatica.
The other thing is when you're 42 years old, you have to do something wildly physical to hurt your back generally. You know, you just throw it out doing physical activities.
Good point.
You, on the other hand, just get so frustrated with a question, you actually threw your own back out from talking.
It hurts.
From talking. How do you throw your back out from talking?
Can I file some sort of claim for this or something?
It's never been done in the history of insurance
claims. Here's a chance to grow.
Well, we have 10 seconds left. Go to talkingrealmoney.com. No, go to Vestory.com. Go to Vestory.com and get an advisor to help for free, for nothing. No obligation, no sales pitch. Vestory.com.
We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for educational and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time, so please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times. Also, as much as you want it, no one can accurately and consistently predict the future. So, past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring. Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Vestory, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and disclosures. That's a wrap.